On this episode, I'm joined by special guests Logan and David as we build our own bars for each of the Magic Kingdom lands. This will be part one. Today is June 4th, 2021, and this is episode 362 of the Main Street Magic Podcast.
Most everyone's mad here.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Main Street Magic. I am your host, Jeremy Stein, and while I am not joined by Rhonda today, I will soon be joined by Logan and David. Now make sure you check us out on the web at mainstmagic.com, as well as follow on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at mainstmagic. If you've not done so already, head out to Facebook and search for the Main Street Magic community and ask to join. And if you hit that subscribe button, you're going to get brand new episodes every single Tuesday and Friday. And then if you want even more content, which includes in-park, resort, and at-home live streams, bonus episodes, discounts on Main Street Magic merchandise, and a whole lot more commentary from Rhonda, myself, and our two girls, you want to check out our Patreon group, and that's at wonderlandcrew.com. If you want to bring the parks home, we are so excited to partner with Walter and Rosie Candle Company, who are bringing you the happiest scents on earth. We absolutely love burning all of their scented candles. We use their laundry detergent, and they really bring the parks and Disney into your house. If you visit msmfriends.com to order, you're going to save 10%. And as you get ready to plan your next Disney or Universal vacation or pretty much anywhere else in the world that will allow you to visit, you can go to msmears.com to learn more about our wonderful travel partner, Melissa Pilgrim, with Ears of Experience, and you can even fill out a form for a free quote. So I'm going to bring David and Logan in here in just a minute. We'll talk a little bit more where this idea came from. But first, I'm excited to announce a contest that is going to go along with this two-part episode. As you know, there are really seven lands throughout Magic Kingdom. Although Storybook Circus is technically part of Fantasyland, we kind of felt it stood on its own. However, there's three of us. We're going to each get two bars, and so that kind of left one out of the mix, and we decided that would be Storybook Circus. So David is going to design bars in Adventureland and Tomorrowland. Logan's got Liberty Square and Frontierland, and then I am tasked with building a bar for Main Street USA and Fantasyland. But here's where you come in, because we would love to hear what your idea would be for Storybook Circus if they were to put a bar or lounge inside of that land. So what you can do is email me all your details, and that's magic@mainstmagic.com. Let me know where you would place this bar or lounge. It does have to have a place to sit. It could certainly take something previous over. Let us know what it would be called, kind of what the design and atmosphere might entail, as well as its kind of signature drink and signature food item. Again, you can email all of that information to magic@mainstmagic.com to enter. And then by the second episode, Logan, David, and myself will pick one winner, and you will get a Main Street Magic shirt of your choice. So go ahead and email me, magic@mainstmagic.com. But enough about the contest and everything else. Let's get David and Logan in here so we can build our Magic Kingdom bars.
Let's do it. It's go time.
Logan, David, y'all are back. I can not tell you how much I appreciate you coming on the show for what I think is going to be such an exciting episode. We're not going to talk about wrestling each other or anything, but we are going to talk about Magic Kingdom bars. So guys, thank you for coming back.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
Yeah, man, I'm glad to be here. I figured the first two episodes we talked wrestling and then comics, so we wanted to not go full nerd, show that we know a little bit about, you know, being social, being out, and one of our favorite things, that would be a bar.
I love that. And that's what we're going to get into. So what we decided to do is I had this idea a little while ago, and I was like, you know what? What if Magic Kingdom did decide, you know, we know they have some alcohol in the sit-down restaurants, but what if, you know, they did decide to open up additional areas like a bar or lounge? I kind of want to ask a question first for you guys is, do you ever think that outside of sit down areas, will Magic Kingdom implement what the other three parks have done in Disney Springs, which includes kiosks for beer and wine, you know, kind of walking around the park. Do you ever think that Magic Kingdom gets fully alcohol, or what are your thoughts there?
I don't know that they ever will. I think they have and always will try to keep Magic Kingdom the family and very kid-friendly park.
Yeah.
I think keeping it in those limited areas might be enough for them at Magic Kingdom, but I've never got that vibe there that that's something that they have any desire to set up or do.
Yeah. What do you think, Logan?
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree. I can't imagine they... Well, I mean, we're talking about it. We got some good ideas, so who knows? This might actually appeal down the line to something that they need to achieve based off of guest feedback. If enough guests say things need to change, then things will change. Then, yeah. You know, it's not a museum. The park adapts over time to the demands of the guest. So we shall see. But I don't see really anytime soon things changing, because if it ain't broke, why fix it?
For sure. No, I agree completely with both of you guys. And as somebody who does enjoy to walk around the parks with a beer or, you know, a wine or a liquor drink, I don't know that I want to see it at Magic Kingdom walking around sometimes. You know, like I do like the process they have set up where you can go into a restaurant, you can have a lunch, you can have a dinner, even breakfast, get a mimosa or something, you know, have a beverage or two. But what I think is going to be interesting is if they do ever implement this idea of still sit down, get a drink, you can't leave, you know, that area with it. And that's what we're going to talk about. So, what we had done about a week ago, or I guess last Friday, in the Main Street Magic community is we went live and we took what we'll consider kind of the six major lands. And I'd already announced earlier in this episode, you know, we're going to do a contest for Storybook Circus. But we're going to go through and each of us are going to have two lands that we're going to create a bar lounge for. And we're going to break this up into two episodes. We're going to start tonight, you know, one each. We're going to go through, and David had a great idea of let's walk through the park. So we're going to start with Main Street USA, which will be my pick. We're going to go to Adventureland, which is David's. And then we're going to finish off at Liberty Square, which is Logan's. And we didn't, you know, we've been tossing this around for a while now. And we didn't want like crazy ground rules, but we did want to make sure that we were picking something that fit within the land, not only thematically, but also physically. We want to kind of talk about the theme of that bar or lounge and then maybe come up with some ideas on what it might look like. Maybe there's a signature beverage, you know, a signature item to eat or something like that. So you guys want me just to hop right into my Main Street USA idea?
I want to say real quick, I'm very excited about the contest and to see what people turn into us, because, you know, this is our third episode of the people being able to listen to us and just judge every single word we say. And now we're turning it around on you guys. I can't wait to see what you guys come up with, and let me and Logan and Jeremy have a good time looking at them and seeing how creative you guys are. Cause looking at the Facebook pages, I see some really creative posts and some creative members of this community. So, I'm really pumped to get to the end of this and see what all you guys can do.
Yeah, I love that. And I think you're completely right, David. Like, we got some people that really know their Disney. They know, you know, especially like Magic Kingdom. They have ideas. Everybody kind of wants this, you know, for the most part, to come to the parks. So I'm gonna kick it off on Main Street USA. And I'm trying to go back to the, you know, early 20th century and really stick with Walt's idea of Main Street USA. And my idea is to basically open up a Plaza Inn soda shop that is basically a crossover with a bar. So my thought is you go into the Plaza Inn ice cream parlor, the Plaza ice cream parlor that's right there next to Plaza Inn restaurant. and you kind of blow that out and make it one cohesive unit where you can now walk in and have a true, you know, early 1910, 1920 soda shop. So I went back and I looked a little bit, and kind of that counter service soda fountain was introduced in like 1903. And around that same time, drugstores started serving customers sandwiches, light lunches, things like that. But, you know, this is that classic soda shop. I think it really became probably more popular like 30s, 40s, 50s, but this is when it started. And I think that was Walt's time in Missouri and Marceline. And so that would be such a cool idea to kind of combine or add a bar area to the Plaza Inn restaurant. So, you know, thought is they can already kind of take out the front and put a bar seating area as you walk in. They could probably fit in a couple diner style seating area. You got your like cast members as like soda jerks with the paper hats, you know, that are like so classic that we've always seen. I'm thinking maybe every half hour, the Dapper Dans make their way off of, you know, Main Street into here. And they give a little performance for a little bit. And when that's not happening, we have an old school jukebox that guests can actually go up and, you know, I'm sure it's going to be digital, but maybe there's some old school way you can still get some change and pop a nickel in the jukebox, you know, and play your favorite song from the early 1920s or even all up to the 1950s. And so I think the setting is perfect because we're already connected to Plaza Inn, right? So we blow out that wall and we literally make this the bar and lounge or potentially waiting area for the Plaza Inn restaurant. If you want dining, then you got a good place to sit. If you're not looking for dining, there's still kind of a walk up, maybe that you can enjoy. Again, a lot of this is going to come down to would Magic Kingdom ever allow you to take that drink and exit? But my thought is we take a spin on those classic soda shop drinks, but we add alcohol. Nice. And so one of them, you know, there's things like the, what is it? I think it's the Lime Ricky is like a big soda shop drink. There's lots of these sodas with ice cream and syrups. So what I started looking at was they have a big popular soda shop drink was called the Black Cow. And this is basically a root beer float, but it's just elevated a little bit. So this is like root beer. It's got a vanilla ice cream. It's got a little bit of chocolate. And then it normally has whipped cream with cherries. So I'm like, why don't we maybe add a little spiced rum, right? And that's kind of this signature dish. And they're all served in those classic glass soda shop, you know, glasses with the straw. And they're topped. And it's just this atmosphere that I think would encapsulate Main Street so well. You know, the ice cream shop is great there, but I don't think it goes to a level of like, let's really go back in time, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's very modern-esque feeling, sort of.
Yeah. So to end that off, because I looked back and I started looking at things like what's big in Missouri? What's big where kind of Walt grew up? And one of the big dishes there is toasted ravioli. And that goes back, apparently, I did a little bit of research and, you know, I mean, Wikipedia never lies. So I assume all this is true.
Ever.
But one of the first places was Tony Lombardo's in the 1930s, where apparently the chef accidentally, like, dropped some ravioli in a fryer, came up with toasted ravioli. So I thought, what if they're main dish, and you could get the whole menu from Plaza, right? You're sitting at the bar, you can get the whole menu from Plaza, that's fine. But to up it a notch, let's do toasted ravioli, where there's not only a toasted ravioli appetizer, which is a pretty standard cheese ravioli, which has been fried and served with marinara. But then I was like, you know, add some balsamic vinaigrette, and you have your, you kind of have your red and black Mickey colors, right? That's your appetizer. But let's really take it up a notch, and we're going to do giant toasted ravioli sandwiches. Like, literally the size of a sandwich, but it's pasta stuffed with meats and cheeses. It's deep fried, cut on the diagonal, maybe served with chips, fries, maybe a light salad because we're already frying a sandwich, like a croque monsieur, something like that, as a lunch. And then I just kept going crazy and said, you might as well have a dessert, which is toasted ravioli apple pie. So it's ravioli stuffed with chopped apples, brown sugar, cinnamon. That's deep fried. And then we got whipped cream on top. So that just, I didn't put a lot into this. I was just thinking a little bit. But once I started thinking about toasted ravioli, I was like, I would eat a toasted ravioli sandwich.
Like an the entire size of menu my head, right? Of toasted ravioli.
Yes, 100%.
Should have known you would have knocked the food part out of the ballpark.
That's kind of what I spent my most thoughts on. Everything else, I'm like, look, soda jerks. Like everything else was easy, right? Like I didn't create anything. You know what a soda shop looks like. You know what early, 20th century Main Street looks like. They've already created it as you walk down Main Street USA and come up to the castle. I just think this could be such a fit that, creates such a nostalgia and atmosphere. I've never been to a soda shop. If I was going to one, I'd kind of be like, hey, what am I getting? A cream soda with ice cream? Put some alcohol in it. Let's do this, man. Right. So what do y'all think? Well, any good or what?
Well, what it makes me think of is right now there's a lot of people that are making beer floats with like a good stout or like a good like chocolate porter or something like that. People are making beer floats out of them. So there's your root beer float right there. Yep. I mean, and your alcohol involved at the same time. It also made me think you were talking soda fountains, like an orange dreamsicle.
Mm-hmm.
There is like a vodka based orange dreamsicle drink that remind me to tell you a funny story of my mother who never drinks getting absolutely wasted, not knowing that was alcoholic. It's very good. And that was another thing that my brain was thinking of as you were talking. So I love the idea. I think it would be really fun. Maybe even mix in like some 20 swing dance and stuff. If you have like room or something like that to keep, you want to keep people in there spending money.
Yep.
That's the main thing. So give them something else to do while they're in there.
Totally.
Yeah. When you mentioned root beer, I immediately thought of Not Your Father's Root Beer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that stuff.
Oh my God. Alcoholic root beer already exists and is so delicious and
so really, dangerous.
Really quite refreshing. And it's very dangerous, especially when you go to their actual plant up there and you can get the high ABV version of it. It is incredibly dangerous and amazingly delicious.
Oh.
Definitely worth the trip. And another thing that when you started talking about the Dapper Dans coming in and somehow incorporating that, it got me thinking about when I was working over at Port Aventura World. So they have shows inside their Far West saloon. And so basically what they do is they have these times throughout the day where you go to the show and they serve food and alcohol during the show. So it's like going to Festival of Lion King and actually being able to eat and drink during it.
What?
And that's what made me think about the Dapper Dans, how you can actually make it to where this is an experience similar to what they do over there. Like right now it's called Magic Can Can because they do can-can dancing and stuff. So that could be a really cool opportunity to use in that space where you have timed shows where like every hour on the hour or every hour and a half, whatever it may be. And then people come in and they're in there long enough to order a couple cocktails and an appetizer. And then it's time to go.
Yeah.
And you're required to buy something when you go in. So you have to buy something. You can't just go and just sit and watch the show. You literally, if you were participating, this is a restaurant show. So therefore you have to be in there eating or drinking in order to be in there.
You know, it'd be awesome. Yeah. If you're going to do that, you just do a vaudeville variety style show.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
So now you have, if you think about Beer Garden in Germany, there's a show while you're eating and drinking, but you have to be eating and drinking. Yeah. So take Logan's idea, do a vaudeville variety show. You can have strong men, like axe throwers, flame eaters. But yeah, just do a vaudeville show. There's your 20s theme. There's your drink.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Oh, I like that. Were you volunteering to be one of the strongmen, David? Or was that just, you're just throwing that out there? Or is that something you'd be interested in?
No, I want to be the pretty girl in the dress with an apple on my head that the person throws an axe.
All right. I'll throw the axe then. That sounds pretty good.
I'm in.
No, I love those additions. Like, I just think, you know, I mean, right now the ice cream parlor is already serving the ice cream to Plaza Inn. Like, why they aren't already a cohesive unit is kind of weird. Now, one question before we move over to David with Adventureland, again, I'd like to ask you guys, kind of like the earlier one, do you think that, you know, you'd ever be able to walk around with alcohol at Magic Kingdom? You know, where do you think Disney stands on wanting to keep people in a place to spend money compared to outside to spend money? You know, like, Disney doesn't want people to stand in line all day. You know, that's why they kind of had fast pass. They're still figuring it out. Virtual queues. You know, if you're in line for 2 hours for a ride, you're not spending money. Do you believe there's an issue if we create this, you know, an awesome place with a vaudeville show that people hang out all day? They're not going around the other areas of the park. Other guests aren't able to get into that same area. But does Disney care as long as they're spending money? Like, what do you think is kind of the balance between keeping people in a place and getting them to move around the rest of the park and spend additional dollars?
I don't think at Disney that somebody's going to go and just stay in that place all day long. I think it'd be more like, all right, mom's going to take the kids over to Buzz Lightyear and dad's going to sneak over here for 20 or 30 minutes.
Yeah.
If you think of like the Rose and Crown in Epcot, people don't tend to stay in there like all day long. It's just one of the stops that they make.
Get it and go.
So I think what Disney would be thinking is, not only are we going to get you spending money walking around, but now here's another avenue where tired mom and tired dad come in, they spend some more money in a 20, 30 minute window than they normally would.
Yeah. Or like Oga's Cantina, you know, which has a limit and it has reservations. Yep. Do you guys see, and maybe we can wrap it up, but I can note that now and we can talk about it more later because I want to get into David's idea. I'll just make some notes on, we can kind of talk about, would we take Oga's Cantina and apply it to these situations? But I really want to hear what David is coming up with for Adventureland, because this one actually has me excited. This is one of the lands I wish had been selected for me.
Oh, goodness. No, no pressure. Well, in my extensive research that started today for, you know, what all's located in Adventureland, there's two real things that I'm going to pull from. But the first one that I'm going to bring up is I'm going to pull from the Tiki 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 Room. Mm. So my thought is to get rid of the Swiss Family Robinson theme and you build a raised in a tree, and I'm going to call it Rosita's Tropical Hideaway. The reason is Rosita is one of the tiki birds. And apparently, according to Wikipedia, she hosted an event on Main Street called the Tropical Hideaway. So Rosita's Tropical Hideaway is going to be a tiki-themed bar, famous for a lot of tiki drinks. The most famous is a blue curacao pina colada. And then if you want foods in there, it's going to be stuff like crab rangoon, like pineapple teriyaki skewers, kind of hand foods that you guys could eat, you know, while you're sitting in a tiki room. It's going to be just obnoxiously tiki-themed, you know, as over the top as Disney gets about everything. But my favorite part about it is that hidden behind one of the Tiki God statues is a speakeasy Tortuga pirate themed bar. And you can't just go into this bar. You have to be offered one of the 9 pieces of 8 by a waiter or waitress. So, you know, one of the benefits of going to the Tiki Room is that you hope you eventually get taken and you get your chance to go into the Tortuga pirate themed speakeasy that's in there. I'm going to call it Gibbs Cove because Gibbs was Captain Jack's right hand man, always in Tortuga. He was the guy asleep in the pig pen, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, in the pirate themed bar, the drink is going to be a rum runner. Because mm-hmm. why wouldn't it be? And if you want to eat in there, one thing that I learned today is that pirates ate a lot of dried and cured meats. So there's a pirate charcuterie tray or a pirate charcuterie ship, if you will. So you get two experiences in my bar. You get Rosita's Tropical Hideaway, which is just a really fun tiki bar theme with every stereotypical tiki thing you can think of. But then if you're one of the lucky ones, then you get to go behind the tiki god to the hidden Gibbs Cove, which is a pirate themed speakeasy.
Dude, all right, I got a couple things to say. One, if people could see the video, because we're on Zoom, like Logan and I are both like just smiling and laughing. This is awesome.
That's awesome. Laughing at me?
No, man. Like just smiling, like because like 6 hours ago, you were like, I didn't even think of anything yet. We're recording tonight? Oh yeah. And then you came up with this, I think, brilliant idea that, you know, went totally off the rails that I think most people would have thought of, because like me personally, and we'll see what Logan thinks, you know, I would have gone straight to a Pirates type theme bar in Tortuga Tavern, and that would have been way too easy. Or, you know, Jungle Cruise, I've always wanted them to put an outdoor bar at Skipper Canteen.
Yep.
And those are really easy ideas.
Yeah.
But you took something that I think is so classic and is one of those attractions with the Enchanted Tiki Room that people will like fist fight over. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you got that you got those Disney people that'll be like, hey, we should blow it away, put something else in. And other people are like, no, I will literally fist fight you in the street. And you are taking something and creating a whole additional story, which I absolutely love. I like Swiss Family Treehouse. But if you're giving me what you're offering, bye, Swiss Family. You're out.
Yeah,
you're getting evicted from your treehouse. You are no longer welcome here.
Think about how fun it would be to like take that rope bridge, you know, like you normally do for the treehouse. But when you get up there, you get that experience.
I absolutely love it. I think that would be just such a collective Adventureland experience. Man, that's good stuff, dude. That's outstanding. What do you think? What do you think, Logan? You like that?
I freaking love it. I like the idea too. I mean, when you talked about the charcuterie board, and I was like, okay, I like where he's going with this. It's got some history. I like it. And then you threw in there what I would call like a Japanese sushi house boat. And now it's a charcuterie boat. And it's a pirate ship. Sold. Absolutely sold. Because that is the kind of stuff that people will pay ridiculous amounts of money just so they could post it on Instagram.
Yep.
I was going to say,
so memorable.
Think of the social media presence of if you're one of the people that get into the speakeasy, one of the first people that gets chosen to go in there.
Like, what do I have to wear? Is there anything specific or is it just really? I don't think I'm getting selected, I feel like, but.
I didn't even think of like the specific things that would get you in. I just thought if there was like a nugget at the end or like a carrot at the end of the race that you're trying to get, you know, like, man, I went to the tiki bar and I didn't get to go to the pirate speakeasy this time. I have to go back to the tiki bar next time.
Yeah.
Then it's a cyclical. I mean, people are coming and going. And
well, and think about Trader Sam's at Polynesian, right? Which has not reopened yet, but that is one of the hardest places to get into in all of Walt Disney World. You know, we've tried to go and we've left, we've waited hours. The one time we actually stayed on property, I think is the maybe one of two times we went, because we're like, hey, we're staying on property, we got nothing else to do, we'll go hang in the room. To take the same concept, and Walt, again, huge tiki fan. I mean, that's why he came up with Enchanted, you know, tiki. Like, to bring all that together is so, like, I'm almost now walking by my stupid soda shop like, dude, I got better places to be. I'm not stopping in. Dapper Dans are cool, whatever. I'll come back to you guys later. I want to go here. You knocked that one out of the park for someone that claimed he had no idea like 5-6 hours ago.
We'll show you the note on my phone. Right, I will show you the note on my phone that is June 1st at 15:21 is when I started.
I trust you.
Coming up with this idea.
Wow.
I actually kind of got the idea from that place. There's a place in Jacksonville where we all live. Ooh. That is like, yeah, you know what I mean? It's like a hidden, not really. You just go left in the restaurant instead of right, but like it's a tiki theme sort of hidden bar.
Oh, really? It's literally called Secret Tiki Temple.
Seriously? Tiki Temple.
Yeah, yeah, we're going, Jeremy. Right. That needs to be one of our little podcasts.
All right. Oh yeah. No, I'm down for that.
You know, I knew I wanted to involve pirates somehow.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of a way to get Jungle Cruise in, but just the thought of the tiki room and the, you know, we live in Florida. You could just, you know, you could light it with torches. It could be so beautiful and so neat, and it expands your menu of drinks that you can offer. And I just thought tiki was the way to go, but I had to get pirates involved somehow.
Yeah.
And but if you can make an adventure, you know, pirates are mysterious and they hide and so let's do it all.
But David, what you didn't miss out on is Jungle Cruise. And I know I'd love to have Skipper Canteen have a bar, but you can go in there pretty easily still and get walk-ups or reservations. And you can still go and sit down and have drinks. You know, you can still have beer. You can still have sangria. So I actually think you're not missing anything whatsoever by not including Jungle Cruise, because they kind of already have a presence. The fact that we don't have a rum base anything with, you know, or tiki again within Adventureland, I think you knocked it out of the park, dude. So I love it.
Do we
go into Logan with Liberty Square? Because now I'm excited, because you guys have just the best ideas. Seriously, this is awesome.
Logan is an actual theme park designer that does this kind of stuff. No.
There's no designer in my title.
Just guesses, yeah, man.
I don't know if it's good or bad that we left him for last. Like I kind of want him to like is he hitting cleanup? Or should it be this home run at the beginning? I don't know. Let's see.
Like David said, unfortunately, have not had as much time to do a typical Logan down the rabbit hole deep dive, you know. So, but I'm still happy with what I got.
I have faith.
I'm excited to share with you.
Let's go. I can't wait. Let's go.
It's going to be amazing. All right, let's do it.
Liberty Square.
That's a tough
home to how many? 999 happy haunts.
Yes,
there is no way I'm going to get Liberty Square and not do something haunted mansion oriented. Yeah. I mean, come on. This would be the greatest bar anywhere at any Disney property. So you mentioned, you know, Trader Sam. Well, just imagine Trader Sam's, except it's freaking haunted. How awesome is that going to be? Yeah. We're not only when you order these drinks and these specialty meals, or tapas, when you order them, there's something that actually activates the environment. Ghosts come to life, lightning, thunder, all these LED and screens and amazing sort of Pepper's ghost effects, all of these things within your experience inside this bar. And so what I kind of imagined is, in order to make it work with the haunted mansion, you're like, how are we going to somehow tie this in? So I imagine on the backside of the haunted mansion, or in this case, on the left side. So you've got the queue, you go to the front, and then on the left side, there's all that trees along the water. Well, imagine if they could have a carriage house on that side with a Gothic revival style architecture that matches the rest of the house. So it's its own sort of separate little building on the side. And this is where more of your haunted guests are located. And so inside this amazing carriage house, it has just been left to the ghost they are running the show. You've got your staff, your cast members who are there. But other than that, it is all about the ghosts. And so what I kind of imagined as far as the kind of drinks you would have there, it would be a full liquor bar and fine wines. So I'm actually going to go with no beer here. As much as Ooh. I'm a beer snob, I'm going to go with no beer because I'm saving that for my next one.
Okay. Oh, no.
No, I like
all
that.
The beer is going to my next bar.
I like that.
But yes. So saving, this is just fine wines, liquor bar, real classy kind of joint. Very much adult oriented. This is an adult only bar. This is a Ooh. 21 and up bar. This is not bring your family kind of stuff. This is classy AF. So, and haunted. So the signature liquor drink, I'm calling it the Madame Leota. It is a barrel-aged gin with barrel-aged bitters and sweet vermouth, all smoked and served over a round ice cube that actually contains Madame Leota's head inside it. So Dude. When you finish drinking your drink, you have a souvenir Madame Leota head that you can clean off and take home with you.
Sign me
the
up.
The signature wine flight I'm calling is the Hitchhiking Ghosts. You have a choice between Ezra, the skeleton, which is a collection of white wines. You have Phineas the Traveler with his collection of red wines, and Gus the Prisoner, the ball and chain, with his selection of blends. Then when we get to the food, so what kind of food should it serve? So as I previously mentioned, tapas and desserts, keeping it small, keeping it classy. So for the signature tapa, we've got the Dread Family Charcuterie Board. And on this board, you have a selection of breads, cheeses, jellies, honeys, everything somehow related to the Dread family tied in with the queue line experience. Mm. So for instance, you'd have a smoked Gouda that would represent how Maud died because she died by fire. So there'd be those little connections to the food as to how the different family members passed away. Then the signature dessert would be the Hat Box Ghost. And so this would be a layered chocolate cake in the shape of a hat box. And as you're eating away at it, you then find within it the hat box ghost head. Again, clean it off and you got yourself a souvenir hat box head. There you go. So that's what I got to work with. That's as far as I got. There's so many other things like a Captain Klein tuna tartare and a bunch of other things I kept wanting to add. But I just ran out of time, guys.
Yeah, you just said the words, that's as far as I got, really, because I'm about to leave. I'm done. That's awesome.
I wanted
man.
To go deeper, man.
You know, here's what I'll say first that I love is that I believe that that is such a wonderful thing. There's nobody on the planet, I hope, that doesn't think of Liberty Square and go, no, I don't want a Haunted Mansion bar or restaurant. No, everybody wants
I know,
that.
Right?
Right? Like, yeah. First of all, right now, if somebody gave me the keys to a bulldozer, I'm taking down Columbia Harbor House because it's garbage. Yeah. And I was thinking of putting it there. But I love the idea that you have of locating it and your details in the interactive. Like, again, how you're not an Imagineer is just baffling. And I don't know the whole process. We can get into I know we've talked
First
to a
you
lot.
First, you have to apply.
Well, yeah, we can get into a lot of why you didn't go that route, because I think the interactive elements that you just explained are genius. Like, you know, I go to Abracadabar. And it's cool, but I always wish that it was almost a Haunted Mansion bar. It has a little bit of that kind of like feel and idea, but I wish that Abracadabar on the boardwalk would take from things like Haunted Mansion with interactive elements. And I want to see like failed, you know, magicians there and really lend to it. But I think you can almost take that same concept, exactly what you're saying. I mean, to think of these, first of all, souvenirs at Disney, right?
You got to have them.
You,
I mean,
you all see what's happening all over my office. But if I can combine, you know, a lot of these things that I have are like, hey, let's buy a $25 popcorn bucket.
Yeah.
And that's my souvenir. And I get regular $4 popcorn. But to be able to combine an experience an incredible either, you know, appetizer, you know, entree, dessert, whatever it is, and then still come away with something, I think is just genius. And the interactive elements, like you mentioned with Trader Sam's, you know, we've gone to Trader Sam's and ordered those specific drinks.
Absolutely.
Because we know the presentation that comes with them. Yes. And the way that the entire environment lights up around you. And for Haunted Mansion, oh.
I know,
I just,
right?
I can't even.
You're like, I know this drink is not worth $30.
Yeah.
But I'm paying it.
I'm paying it.
Because yep. I want the show.
Yep.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. And the interactive element for 100%.
Yeah.
So David, you're coming here with us, right? What do you think?
Oh, yeah. No, I was, when he said Haunted Mansion, I was there. Yeah. Once you made the sell, quit selling. I think what would be kind of cool is if you had like an actual sit down bar also, if there would be some way through something to make it look like a ghost was the bartender using some of their like projection technology.
Ooh, okay.
And yeah. like, you know, maybe there's a real person back there, like who's handing you the drink or whatever, but by using that projection technology, almost like when you get to the mirror part of the Haunted Mansion and they like take off your head and or whatever, imagine sitting at a bar with this bar in front of you, and then just on the other side of the bar, you're being served by a phantom or you're being served by a ghost. Or
yeah. And
that would be,
what about an ice bar? Ice bar? Like bars made of ice? So it's cool, a little bit chilly, like a little bit, give you a little bit of that, you know, raise the hairs on the back of your neck.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I would rather have an LED tabletop or mapped bar top. So then that way, actually, while you're there, things are changing underneath it. Like literally say it's a countertop, or you talked about wanting to make it cold. Well, how cool would it be if all of a sudden it literally, the whole counter iced up. And then as part of, as part of ordering one of those drinks, and it actually recognized, like once you set that drink down, it actually sent ice out all the way down the countertop. Cause it could be programmed to do that, to recognize, sure. It could even have like some kind of sensor where then once you set down that specific glass, it then creates an animation that would be off of that. I mean, how freaking cool would that be? Yeah. Talk about a great experience. Or even like, imagine too, if they set down a drink and then roaches and spiders ran out from under it.
That'd be awesome.
All of a sudden, if literally just a ghost sort of randomly popped up, or you had a glass down and it recognized it. And then when you lifted your glass, there was something underneath it because you'd left your glass there a long time. So then it surprised you when you picked it up. Like they can do all kinds of crazy stuff like that. That'd be
you know what else I was thinking would be kind of cool? You know how like rainforest has like the storm every half an hour?
Yeah.
Yep.
You do something like that and it's like the witching hour, and then like just it goes nuts. Like the lights go out, there's just phantoms and ghosts, and then everybody wants to be in rainforest for the storm or for the rain and the storm. How many people would want to be in the Haunted Mansion bar when the witching hour hit?
Yeah.
Everything's going crazy.
Like I'm thinking of the final scene, with all the ghosts coming up and everything popping up, like that being that type of thing. I will tell you who does not want to be in Rainforest, David, is Lacey. She does not want to be there. So
She doesn't like anything about Rainforest about the storm.
She was scared at a young age, and then one time we ate at the one Animal Kingdom before we hopped to Hollywood Studios, and she got sick. Ooh. Unrelated to Rainforest, we're sure, but she is the type that will fixate on, like she's the type that could be like, hey, I just ate a hamburger, I stubbed my toe, I'm never eating a hamburger again, so therefore she'll never eat a Rainforest. We have like a list of stuff that she's never going to eat again because she had a bad experience completely unrelated to that food item.
Wow.
But that's kind of the way her brain goes. But I think this is I love these ideas, and I want to touch back on the Oga's Cantina idea, because as long as we're providing these, I do feel like we need to give the Bobs, we need to give, Josh D'Amaro some, more ideas on how to run this business, because I'm not 100% sure they know how to implement these items. Do you
clearly
feel,
need our help.
Do you feel that at Oga's Cantina type of reservation and limited time system is something that would have to happen if you implemented these incredibly genius bars and lounges in the Magic Kingdom? Like, what do you guys think about the process with all that?
I think it depends. I think it depends on the approach. I think, like, for instance, look at Epcot.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that for every single bar at Epcot. So I think it matters about variety. It matters about the time it opens. It matters about the fact of, is it limited? Is it entire family or is it just adults? So I think those factors are going to play a major point on how you structure the environment itself. You know, I imagine the Haunted Mansion bar, maybe we'll call it a Ghostly Delight or something like that. That is the kind of bar that should be on the Magic app. Like, you should be able to go on the app and reserve it as far in advance as you can. Adults only. It doesn't open till later in the day. It's not an all day thing. It is definitely more of a nighttime experience. And just like Trader Sam's is, and they're gonna charge so much that it doesn't really matter. And they're gonna serve such a limited menu that also, if people want to stay as long as they want and they're spending money, you know, nobody's really going to care. Trader Sam's, you can stay as long as you want, from my understanding.
Yes, correct.
Once you're in, you're in. But the reality is you reach a point where you're like, Jesus, I can't spend $30 again on another rum drink. It's just, I can't do it. My tab is already $120 and I don't have a buzz.
Yep. You know? Yeah.
So you reach that point where as great as the experience, you got to get out. And I think that's where something like the Haunted Mansion bar, that would be that route. Whereas, you know, what I kind of imagined with your Main Street thing, that's a family environment, really. Yeah. I imagine
a little more
the
go,
Port Aventura
like come and
approach.
Go. Yep.
So I think that would really work for that, in a sense where that would be controlled. Everybody would get in at the same time and get out at the same time. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't need like an Oga's Cantina thing because it would be a quote unquote show.
For sure. Yeah. What do you think, David? Like similar?
I almost picture them as more of like a Bell's Castle kind of thing where, yes, you can get a reservation and it's highly encouraged, but if you want to wait, go ahead and stand in the heat for 45 minutes to get gray pudding. It should be kind of, you know, reservations encouraged, but you could try to walk up if you want to. Something like, I want to hope that something like Logan's, something like mine, no offense to yours, Jeremy, yours is more of like the family showtime thing, but like the way Logan and I designed it, it's like you almost go to Disney just to go to the Haunted Mansion bar. Yeah.
Oh, I'd go to Magic Kingdom more often. We never go to Magic Kingdom.
And that's exactly, I was coming at it the same thing David was just saying. I was coming at it from an Epcot approach, which is people go to Epcot just to eat dinner.
Yeah.
People literally will go to Epcot just to eat dinner at one of those restaurants. That is how, if we have bars in Magic Kingdom, that's the way they should be. They should be an experience in themselves.
Yeah, for sure. That's how I picture it. Like I would go specifically to try to get to the Pirate Speakeasy. I would go specifically to see Logan's LED bar.
Yeah. Listen, man, I got Main Street USA. Come on, cut me some slack. Where else was I going?
You did great.
Like, I wasn't putting strippers in there. Okay. That's not what we're going with Main Street. Like, everybody always says,
USA.
Listen, go to Twitter. That's not
Emerson
what Walt,
Street,
yeah, that's not what Walt would have wanted is what Twitter will tell you because they know everything.
You don't know what Walt would have wanted. It could have been as long as there was a train involved, he'd have been good with it.
Seriously. Hey, completely unrelated drinks on the train would not be a bad idea. I'm just saying.
Oh my God.
That's
gosh.
Not even like part of this, but that would be pretty good. Anything else you guys want to add? This has been like an amazing, fun time. I can't wait to record the next one because we still got three more lands
I know.
To go through.
I'm so excited.
And I will say, I could not have guessed what y'all would have come up with, which I love. You know, like, I mean, to go into that detail and everything, I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys' time and the detail and everything that you put in. I hope that this is something, you know, that eventually comes around to Disney. And I think this could be a series that maybe expands to other parks. I know that other parks have bars, but they don't have these kind of bars. No, so
they don't.
Who knows?
They don't have us. Up with.
They don't have us. Not yet, man.
That's what Dinoland USA needs.
That's the one thing. We're just turning
Dinoland USA needs the ultimate drinking experience.
Agreed.
Man, we were talk just, about reviving that land.
We were just there, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah,
or something like that.
That's right.
And it's nothing.
Yeah.
Like, there's no character meet and greets now. The little Triceratops spinny thing is closed. The playground, like, that's like the Boneyard playground, closed.
Yep.
Literally the like fairway games and the spinner is the only thing. We got in and out of Animal Kingdom in 4 hours, 5 hours. It didn't do much.
It's quick. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
When they reopen Boneyard, I just want a adult bar inside of Boneyard. The dig area.
So is that it? After we finish Magic Kingdom, is that our next thing? Like themed bars, and I know they have drinking establishments, but we could put a twist on.
Recreate some. I love it. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Drinking around the parks.
It's a whole new series. Well, guys, again, I can't thank you enough for coming to do this. We're gonna go ahead and we're gonna have a part two. So we're going to cover three more lands, which is going to be absolutely amazing.
So stoked.
We'll do that very, very soon. So again, thank you guys. Appreciate you. And we'll see you guys real soon.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Thanks, Jer Bear.
That was awesome.
Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. That was such a blast. We can't wait to bring you part two next week as David designs Tomorrowland, Logan designs Frontierland, and I get a shot at Fantasyland. And don't forget, if you have a cool idea for Storybook Circus, email me at magic@mainstmagic.com with all of the details, and you might have a chance at winning a free Main Street Magic t-shirt. Well, that's it for now. If you have not already subscribed, please do so on your favorite podcasting platform. And as long as you're out there, we would really appreciate if you left us a rating and review. Because as Rhonda always says, it helps our show grow. That's all we've got. We'll see you real soon.
Most everyone's mad here.